It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Good afternoon, Northwest Indiana. We're here for another edition of Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. And it's a beautiful day out. It's getting a little bit warmer.
That is a nice thing.
You like the warm.
I've already got a sugar high.
Yeah. And you know what she's talking about? She's talking about the donuts that we just ate from Gardwood Orchard. And that's who our guests are today. They're Carrie and Dennis from Gardwood Orchard. And they're here in the studio, and we want you to call in, 769-9577. Carrie was nice enough to bring in some gift cards for Gardwood Orchards. And I have gift cards from Chef Nick's Eatery.
And nice enough to come all the way out here on an impending three-day weekend.
Yeah, because Gardwood's far away. It's all the way in La Porte. It was a good, probably one good hour drive almost to get out here.
A little less. Not too bad. Right down 30. It's pretty close.
So I want to introduce everyone to Carrie, the owner and operator of Gardwood Orchard. Carrie, thanks for coming in on, I'm sure, a busy day and a busy lead up to the picking season.
It is. This is kind of the start of our big apple season. So it finally feels a little like fall outside. As you said, it's a little warm out today, but people love that, the falling leaves and the cooler weather, and that's when they think of us. So.
Mm-hmm. And Dennis, I want to thank you for coming in.
Absolutely.
And Dennis, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm actually the pastor to the Gardwood family. The members of their family attend my church, and I love their donuts and their apples and their, you know, everything else. And we actually have a chapel and a cemetery right across the street from the orchard. So I'm there periodically, and they have wonderful music venue out there during the fall. So I go a lot of Sunday afternoons to, those are my Fridays. Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
So, oh, right, yeah.
So I go out and listen to the music and kind of take in the sort of the ambiance of the whole place. It's just a remarkable and fun place to hang out.
I went out there and I thought it was, just like you said, remarkable. It's tranquil. It's out. It feels like it's out in the middle of nowhere. But then I've been on 8094 and I see signs for Gardwood Orchard, you know.
Right.
So it's out there, but it's accessible, too.
Right. Well, and it adds legitimacy when you bring your pastor with for a radio interview. People are like, wow, they bring their
good
pastor.
Good move,
they,
yeah.
Yeah, this is the real deal.
Well, you see,
I can, call him a mascot, too. He's like a mascot, right. A pastor.
Hey, I do a lot of different things. Many hats.
Donut
wear
consumer.
Wear many collars.
There you go.
That's great.
Call in. Like I said, Carrie's got some gift cards, $20 gift cards for Gardwood Orchard. Call in 769-9577. We'd be happy to hear from you. So, Carrie, give us a little bit of your background.
So I grew up as a kid working at the orchard, and now I get to be the person that manages the kids who work at the orchard. It's my seasonal part-time job, really. I work full-time at the church for Pastor Dennis here, but the Gardwood Farm is our family business. So it's not just it's my husband, his brother, Mike, and his cousin, Tom, are all the day-to-day owners, operators of this business. And it's been in the family since 1831, have been the year that they started farming the land. And since like the 50s, they built a farm market and started really doing a kind of local market type atmosphere, some U-pick. I'm sure it was slow days back then. They would take produce into Chicago and sell it on the, not like these farmers markets you see now. There would be like docks, mm-hmm, where restaurants and businesses would buy produce. And that has evolved into what now is a very busy fall destination for folks in our region.
So is it apple picking time yet?
It is apple picking time. We started with Zestar, and those started about 2 weeks ago, the Zestar started. So those are now over, and now we're going into things like Blondie and Gala and Macintosh. And everyone, of course, is waiting for Honeycrisp. You guys got some of the earliest Honeycrisps that came in. We just got those in. It's a new variety. They're only available right now in the market. The U-Pick ones will start September 8th. So these are a new strain of Honeycrisp. They come out a little early. They're excellent flavor, and then the You Pick ones will start September 8th.
So the apples come out at all these different times. Is it because of the species of the apple, or?
Right. Yeah, they all ripen at different times. So, you know, when people are complaining, they're like, why can't I pick a Granny Smith on September 1st? And it's because it tastes horrible. If you, you know, if you bite into it, it doesn't have the right flavor. The sugar content needs to mature to a point where it's ready to pick and eat. So if you picked the Honeycrisp that are out on the farm right now, they would taste awful. They wouldn't taste like those. Those are grown on a different area of the farm that's not in our U-Pick section. But yeah, they don't taste right until that sugar content gets to be enough. And we test those. You know, they're farmers. My husband and the guys will go out and they'll test those with a sugar thing to,
See what's...
I was going to say, how do you know?
Yeah, so they know when these things are going to be ready, and we're not going to sell them to
grocery
stores.
So it's not just by eye. You just don't look up there and say, hey, they're ready.
It's almost like I will serve no wine before it's time.
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
Like that.
Right.
They're all Purdue grads too, aren't they?
They are. Yep, all Purdue grads.
Which means that they're good farmers.
Yeah, right.
And what high schools did you guys go to?
Everybody went to LaPorte High School.
Okay.
So born and raised in LaPorte.
Homegrown.
Yep, right. Just like our produce.
So when I go out to the orchard, I'm like jumping on my you know, my 15-year-old son's shoulders to kind of get up there and get an apple.
Yeah, right.
You know, or I'm climbing branches and stuff like that.
That's bad. Let me ask you this. You need to read our rules here on the sheet.
I got that right here.
Yeah. That's not allowed, probably.
Right. Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Do you have a simpler way? Do you have a machine that shakes the tree or anything like that?
No, because they'd all be damaged. They'd come off, you know, just like your skin bruises and apple bruises. So, you know, if you were just yanking them off with some kind of machine, they'd get mushed up.
So you handpick all those apples?
They're all handpicked, yep.
Wow. Now, is apples the largest crop that you have out there?
Actually, now green peppers, or just peppers in general, a variety of different kinds of peppers, probably exceed the apple count in quantity.
Mm-hmm.
We grow a lot of peppers. So a lot of peppers you'd see in the grocery stores around here, regionally in the Midwest, would be from our farm. But then we do grow a ton of apples.
Well, how many acres are the apple orchard is?
We have a total of about 500 acres. Probably 300 of that would be in apples, and the rest is in vegetables and other fruits.
And what do we do with all these apples? Where do they go to?
We have brokers. So just like you know, if you're buying a house, you have a broker, a real estate broker, help you with doing that. We have brokers that help us sell our produce for us. So we work through them. They will have buyers, grocery stores, and different people they deal with. They buy from us, and then they distribute to their buyers.
So what quantity of apples do you send out? How are they gauged? Are they gauged by the big square box? I mean, by the inch or by the pound? How do you gauge how much you're actually sending out?
Yeah, typically by the bushel, I would say, would be the way to do it. Our bins, you know, when you go out to an apple farm and you're looking around, especially like ours, there's different types of farms when you're doing this kind of touristy visiting places. And you'll go to farms where they really are just a U-Pick retail operation.
Right. You're a real farm.
Yeah, we're a little unique in that we're the biggest apple farm in Indiana.
Wow.
We wouldn't be in Michigan. There's a lot of apple farms in Michigan, but we're one of the last ones left in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
So we're the largest farm in Indiana. So these apples are going everywhere all over the country. There's enough apples out there to give everybody in the state of Indiana an apple if they wanted one. But it's unique in that when you come to our farm, you're actually seeing some of that wholesale stuff go on, even while you're just riding around on the tractor wagon. Your kids and families get to experience a little bit of that bigger business side of it, even though they're just enjoying the retail and U-Pick side.
So, you know, we pick these apples now. You're saying they're going across the whole nation, okay? And it takes days, maybe weeks to go. Do you pick them a little early? Do you do something special for those? Or you just pick them when you have to pick them?
Apples stay really good under refrigeration. So they're one of the products that do really well just in regular refrigeration. And so we remind people when they buy apples from our store, make sure you're taking them home, putting them in the fridge. Don't just leave them out on the porch and be like, oh, they're going to be fine. They're cool enough. They like refrigeration. I mean, they want to be cool, keeps them crisp. Most of the varieties, I mean, there's a couple varieties that are a little softer or lighter, more sauce apples or baking apples that don't hold up well. But most of the newer things, like a Fuji, you could put a Fuji in the fridge right after you pick it in mid-September and take it out in you know, December or January, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. See, I would never have known that.
Yeah. Really? Did you say mid-September you could put it in?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Take it? Wow.
Yeah, you could take it out a few months later, and it tastes delicious. So there's, and again, it just depends on the variety. Things like Braeburn last forever, you know, in the refrigerator. They're a really hard apple, so they hold up really well under refrigeration.
Nice. Now, as I was speaking to your biggest fan other than Dennis, and that's Lauren.
Yeah.
She came running down the hallway saying, I got these pickles from Garwood. And look, and actually the pickles she pickled taste like the pickles from my restaurant. She says, most likely, if you're getting apple juice from a store in this area, it's probably Garwood, made out of Garwood apples.
Yeah, our apple cider, we make a lot of the apple cider in the region. So that's a secret, though. We don't, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but we do. We make a lot of cider for a lot of folks because we have a pasteurizer. So it is. It's a fun aspect of our business is to do that, the apple cider.
Why is it a secret, though? I mean, how come people don't know?
Oh, well, it's not necessarily a secret. It's just that, you know, a lot of people don't have pasteurizing equipment, and you have to have pasteurized cider anymore. So.
Well, other people put their labels on
it,
too.
They have their labels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's actually yours.
but you're not espousing it because these people want to say it's theirs,
right.
too.
Right.
So what's the difference between, folks, 769-9577, calling and get a gift card from Garwood Orchards, or Chef Nick's Eatery. What's the difference between cider and apple juice?
And apple juice. Just a different type of pasteurization and processing.
Okay.
Yeah, so the apple
cider.
What's
richer? What's a better one, you think?
Well, it's all up to taste, but juice would be more like, you know, long-term shelf life stuff.
Okay, so they might add more sugars and waters to
right,
it?
Right, right. It's got more stuff added to it.
And the cider's a little more natural, you're saying?
Right, right. I mean, we have to have some level of preservative in it so that you can keep it. But, you're not going to keep cider for, you know, on your shelf like an apple juice and be able to drink it later.
Dennis, what is your favorite apple out there?
Well, I love the Honeycrisp.
Okay.
But they don't last very long. I mean, but I think Fuji, Galas are also really good. You know, there's so many different varieties out there that are beautiful. And, you know, one of the greatest times to go is in the spring when they're budding, and you can go out and get some just fabulous pictures. But, you know, this is the time of year. It's been a great year weather-wise, and I think they've got a really good harvest coming up from what I've been able to see. And I had one of those Honeycrisp the other day, and just outstanding.
Now, is it too late for it to be warm for apples? I mean, does it too hot of a, say, early fall or something, does that ruin any kind of picking?
No, I think it probably, you know, moves along the ripening process a little bit. But no, it's not been too hot for us right now. Temperatures are good.
It's okay. Yeah. Sharon, we got somebody on the phone? Who do we got out there?
Yeah, we got John from Valpo.
John from Valpo. How are you doing, sir?
Good, doing good.
You got a question for Carrie or Dennis?
Yeah, I was curious. You said the Honeycrisp are what, some right September 8th, something like that.
That's correct.
What about the Fuji? When does that?
Fuji will start around September 15th, and that's an early Fuji variety. So we have a couple different varieties of Fuji, and people that are true Fuji lovers know the difference. So the early Fuji has a little bit different flavor than the late Fuji. I would say our late Fuji are the more popular variety, and those start October 13th.
Okay. I had another question. Also, I have a few fruit trees, and I planted a couple of Fuji trees about 3 years ago, and I'm yet to get a apple one off of those. How old does a Fuji tree have to be to start producing?
They do take a few years, but I would think usually 3 to 4 years you'll start seeing some fruit. It's always good to have some cross-pollination going on, and I'm not the real farmer in the family. I'm kind of the marketer in the family, but there's a great website through Purdue. And if you look up online, the Home Fruit Growers Guide from Purdue University, it's excellent about that kind of cross-pollination stuff and good varieties to plant next to each other. And that would probably help you along quite a bit.
Yeah, I planted, from what I read, I said to use a Yellow Delicious or Gold Delicious.
So there's certain plants you should put next to other fruit plants. Do you do a lot of gardening, John?
Oh, yes.
What else do you grow?
I have peach tree, plum tree, apple tree, blueberry, grape, goji berry, and then my garden, which is tomatoes, you know, the basic zucchini, all that kind of stuff.
Where in Valpo you have that much room?
I'm out in Morgan Township.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Well, John, thanks for calling in. We appreciate the phone call, and we'll be sending you out some gift cards. How's that sound?
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Okay. Welcome back, everyone. Remember, dial in 769-9577. Get a chance to get a gift card from Garwood Orchard or Chef Nick's Eatery. We're here with Carrie and Dennis, and we're talking about the orchard. What do you devote the most, the biggest amount to what apple of trees or land or acreage?
You know, I would say right now it probably is a toss-up between Golden Delicious and Honeycrisp. We have a lot of Golden Delicious fans. That's a extremely popular variety of apple that we've grown for years. And then Honeycrisp, of course, is hugely popular.
Is the Honeycrisp the most popular?
I would think so, yeah. It's just, it was crazy popular right when it came out. I mean, it's a great name, and it really is an excellent apple. It's just great flavor.
So when's the end of the apple picking?
We will be picking apples through October 31st for open to the public.
Open.
And we hope to have, you know, all of our stuff as well off the trees by then. That's usually the goal. Sometimes there's a couple of varieties that'll go a little bit into that first week of November.
So tell everyone, do you have an apple cart, apple rides, picking trailers?
We do. We have tractor wagons that go out every day.
Uh-huh.
So our U-Pick area is open every day from 9 to 5. And on weekdays, you catch those wagons at the market, and they'll take you out to the different picking areas. On weekends, we have a little area open down at the U-Pick, and we've got a Garwood Grill there, and we have live music, like Dennis mentioned, on the weekends.
Yeah, I see it right here on your flyer. So, live music, weekends, bands play noon to 3.
Yep, that's right, and it's all free. There's a lot of local bands. People are going to know some of the names locally, but then there's also bands like Duke Tomato comes up from Indianapolis. He's been coming for years. He was one of the founding members of REO Speedwagon. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, really really a cool guy. We love having him. And then I think we're going to have McCoy, who are Rising Stars from Nashville. They just played at Red Wine and Brew this past year as an opening act. And I think they're coming up September 15th. So we're excited to have them back too, hopefully.
So another, before, you know, we're going to get off apples. We've been talking about apples. But you do donuts too.
We do, yes.
And your favorite department.
Oh, yes. They do donuts.
We had some donuts here.
They're disappearing fast around here.
Yes. I mean, for everyone to be gone for Labor Day.
I saw people at the graphics business next door starting to come in and go.
Seriously.
So what kind of donuts do you do?
So today I brought over for you guys, those are apple cinnamon donuts. They're a deep fried donut. Again, we've done these for years. What started
Sharon's going to go
small,
get some now.
She is. I know, just talking about them. It was a very small little bakery section that literally was a donut machine.
Uh-huh.
In a room about the size of your table. And that has evolved into a full bakery. So now we have pies and turnovers and all sorts of things. But the donut line is definitely the longest on fall weekends.
Come early.
Yeah, if you're local, come on a Tuesday for donuts. Don't try and get them on a Saturday or Sunday.
And then also you brought, and Sharon, they can see pictures of these on the Lakeshore Public Radio Facebook.
Yes.
They're the pictures of the donuts. And something that was interesting, we were talking apple cider, but you also brought over an apple cider that's got a cherry flavor to it that I said that would be good with some Absolut.
Yeah, right. It would be, I'm sure. It's, we do a cherry flavored cider. Really good stuff. We also do cider slushies at the market. So sadly, I couldn't bring any of those. They wouldn't have held up, you know, on the car
right
over. But those are delicious, especially, you know, when it's a little warm outside and you get those. So good.
Well, you know what? Me and my family went there maybe a month or month and a half ago, and you have ice cream there too.
Yeah, we do. We have gelato. So
gelato.
We have a gelato bar, yes.
Which is better than ice cream. There's less air in it, more cream.
More cream, yes.
Oh, I love gelato. Yeah. What, do you guys make the gelato?
No, it's made for us by Palazzolo's.
Okay.
They're a famous gelato maker out of Michigan.
Okay. And, you know, when we went to the market, it's like, I mean, you got the orchard, like a farm. But you also have like a market, like a regular like produce market there.
Sure. Yeah, we carry almost a full line of produce.
Yeah, I noticed that. Is all that grown on your farms?
No, not necessarily. I mean, we like to make sure we supplement with your staples. You know, people are going to want some bananas. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're not growing bananas. You know, and they're going to want a head of lettuce. You know, we're not lettuce growers.
But I noticed you have your own pickles. Do you guys?
We do grow pickles. Yes. So we've got, you know, and at the U-Pick we have a lot of these things like green beans and pickles and peppers and eggplant. There's tomatillas out there. We grow a lot of tomatillas.
The sweet corn this summer was incredible too.
Sweet corn is excellent.
Absolutely delicious. In fact, your mother-in-law made some sweet corn for me for the freezer.
Yeah, freezer corn. Yes.
Got some bags of that ready for.
What's freezer corn?
She takes it and you know you get it off the cob. You mm-hmm. kind of scrape
raw
the kernels
before
off
before you get any cooking.
She'll cook it just a little bit, so uh-huh. just lightly.
Kinda blanch it.
Mm-hmm. Blanch it and then just scrape it off and you put it in some small freezer bags, and then in the winter you can take out this corn mm-hmm. and it's way better than like a canned corn.
Well, I'm sure it is. 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call. Carrie's here to answer any question, almost any question about farms and apple orchards. And I'm here, Chef Nick, with Sharon Jackson. We also got Dennis in the studio, and we're giving out gift cards to Chef Nick's Eatery. You know, also, you said, as I walked through your market, you have, which is one of my favorite things, is like, summer sausage and jerkies and things like that. Now, is that something that's packaged for you?
Yes, it is. And it's local. Again, we source this stuff as local as we can to carry in the market. But you're right, it's exceptional product.
I got some. It was good.
Right. It's very good. Yes, I had a snack stick earlier for breakfast. So
that sounds like my day. I usually have a boiled egg in the morning, and that's about it. So tell us some of the other things you have in your market. I noticed you got honey. Now, do you guys do your own bees?
We do not. So those are, again, we try to get local honey, but we sell a lot of honey. So some of it's just substituted with regional things. But honey is an extremely popular product at our store.
Yeah, I bought some honey.
Some of the honey that we have, though, is from – we rent bees. So, you know, we have to pollinate all these trees, and so we rent bees that come – they bring them in on a truck and sit them around in the orchard to help pollinate.
Oh, really?
And so we'll get some honey back from that from the guys that make the honey. So
they you rent them, they bring in the hives, the whole bit.
Right.
And then it works both ways. They pollinate your orchard, but they're also getting honey from it.
Yeah, those guys are getting honey from it, sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting how it all works together.
Right.
It really is. And you know what? And Becky finds it interesting. Mm-hmm. We got Becky on the line.
Yes.
Becky, Hi. How are you doing?
Hi. Good, how are you?
Good. You got a question for Carrie?
Yeah, so this is driving me crazy. I'm so glad that she's on today because I was driving and I'm like, I have to get to the phone so I can call. Every year I try to make applesauce and I also try to make apple pies. And either my applesauce is too hard or my pies are too mushy. So do you know the best pies because for apples, for pies, and then are they the same for applesauce?
Right. You know, this is a common question, so you're not the only person that experiences this issue. We always recommend that you use a couple different varieties of apples for flavor and texture in both pies and applesauce. I think it makes it just a better product. And for sauce, you know, things like Macintosh work good. You want a softer apple. Macintosh is probably the most common sauce apple. And then add that with a Johnna Gold or Golden Delicious, and you'll get a really good flavor mix. And then for pies...
So you're mixing two apples in the same batch.
Right, in the same batch.
Oh,
I mean, you don't have to, but I think the flavor is a little better when you do that. And same with a pie.
And can you... So my husband loves the Granny Smith apple. It's his favorite. Is that not a really good one then to make applesauce with? Because I've tried it before and it wasn't very good.
That's right. A Granny Smith is really a firm apple. So now I like kind of a crunchy applesauce, but yeah, it's going to be a crunchy. The Granny Smith would be a way better pie apple. Because it doesn't bake down to a soft enough texture for the applesauce.
Okay, so I'm not actually just undercooking one or overcooking the other. It's the apple itself that I should, because I've gone online and everything and I've tried the different apples, and my husband's like, well, that is a good pie, but it's not really what I was thinking. And so I'm always trying to guess the best apple. I'm always disappointed.
Well, you can just sneak over to our bakery and buy a pie and then tell him you made it and see what he thinks.
That's a good idea.
You can trick him into it.
I will do that.
Yeah. You know what, Carrie, let me ask you this. Now, at your orchard, do you offer recipes?
You know what? We do have some recipe books around, but I wouldn't say that they're anything specific to Garwoods. That is a great idea. We should do a Garwood cookbook with some of the family recipes in it, because that's really, you know, where I learned from as a younger person was you know, my husband's family's recipes, because that's the Garwood family line. And then my family, they weren't farmers, but they loved to bake. So I got a lot of good apple recipes from my grandma and aunts. And that's really helped over the years.
So we're going to get you a little apple stand with a counter, and you're there to answer all the apple
questions.
And I
know there's only so much you can do, but I was wondering also, since you're saying all these things that I never even would have thought of, do you offer like educational classes to teach people how to make, you know, awesome applesauce and apple pies
right,
and all
an
that stuff?
Right, an apple cooking class
would you go
great.
There? You'd probably go there, Becky, wouldn't you?
You could. Like,
I would go
that.
There. And another question is always, is there only one type of apple that you use for your juicers, or do you combine the apple cider?
Good question.
Do you combine different apples as well?
It's, you know what, and that the answer is the same with the cider. You get a better flavor when you're combining varieties of apples. So,
interesting.
To make our apple cider, we want to make sure we've got a couple different varieties in there, and that's why kind of mid-season apple cider has a better flavor than the early apple cider, which, I mean, it's delicious. We've just started making it, but we have more varieties to add to the mix a little later, and it really does help with the flavor.
You do freeze some apple cider, don't you?
We do, yeah, and then we'll keep that to get those cider slushies going early. But, yeah, you can stock up on cider, and you just dump a little bit out of the top, put the top back on, and throw it in the freezer, and it's got room to expand, and then you can keep it all winter.
That's a
great. Can you pick apples? Like if I were to come in and pick a lot of apples and then I were actually to freeze them, would that still make a good pie months later or not really?
You know, probably not, because once you start freezing apples, I mean, we do.
Would you have to cook it first probably and
no,
then freeze it?
No, I'd do it fresh frozen. I mean, we do some fresh frozen stuff, but a lot of our frozen fruit that we have, which we sell some frozen fruit in the store, it's like flash frozen, so it's frozen quickly, and that's the difference of like I'm going to throw something in my freezer at home is that it's kind of slowly freezing in there, and so it doesn't really hold up the way that these flash frozen products do. So it's tough, but you could do that, and it would make excellent apple sauce. It probably wouldn't hold up as well for a pie though.
Hey Becky, have you ever been out to Garwood Orchard?
Oh yeah, we have actually friends from Chicago.
Okay.
And they come down every year, only because they love to go to Garwood. So
Wonderful. We're
in Del Prezo, so we'll go out and go to Garwood. And every time they want to come down, it's usually the most beautiful weekend, so the place is packed. And, you know, we stand in line for a really long time to get our apples. And my husband's like, we need that many apples, but everybody wants to pick a bag. So I'm going to perfect the apple pie, and everybody in our house is going to have apple pies for months, and then all of a sudden they'll have nothing else to eat.
Well, you know what? Carrie is giving me a gift card for
$20. Oh, thank you.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of Chef Nick's Eatery. It's over in Winfield, and I'm going to give you... Okay, so I'm going to give you also a gift card for $10. So you got
super.
Two nights out.
We could hire her for our bakery once she perfects this pie baking
that's perfect.
Business, right?
That's right. I look forward to learning.
Right.
Well, you know what? Thank you for calling in. We appreciate your phone call.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, WLPR, we're here on Lakeshore Public Radio. Give us a call. Ask Carrie a question, 769-9577. 769-9577.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Hey, hey, we're back. We're back in the studio live in Merrillville, WLPR, Lakeshore Public Radio. You're on 89.1 FM. It's Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick, and we got Sharon Jackson here, and we're eating apple donuts and pumpkin donuts, and we have apple cider with cherry, and there's some apples out here. But we're going to get off the apple subject, and we're going to talk about some other things that you grow on the orchard.
Right. I have some tomatoes sitting there on the counter.
Oh, but you know what?
You know, it's tough to bring vegetables.
I was going to
tomatoes, you know, at this time of year, they start to get bypassed.
Yeah, right. I know.
Everyone wants to go to apples and pumpkins and squashes.
They're done with BLTs, right? And,
yeah. Not my restaurant.
I know.
It's like one of the biggest things is a BLT and a BLT club. Okay, so it's a U-pick, right?
Right.
Okay,
that's
what else
right.
can you pick out there?
We've got at the U-pick farm this year, which it changes seasonally. Sometimes we'll have different items. But this year we've got beans, blackberries, and eggplant, pickles, and peppers. And by peppers, it's several different varieties. I mean, there's everything. There's jalapenos and banana peppers and cubanellas. So we have a lot of different peppers, not just bell peppers. And then black and red raspberries, tomatillos, and tomatoes. And that's yellow, red, and Roma tomatoes.
Wow. But you make it sound so simple.
And pumpkins, too.
Oh, of course, pumpkins. Wow. We'll have to get the pumpkins. You make it sound so simple. But I went and visited your plant, and actually, it's a production. I mean, I was amazed. I forgot who gave me the little tour, but he took me through, and you guys were actually harvesting eggplants. Right. And it was amazing that the eggplants go in this big bin, and then it's dumped into a bunch of water, and it's kind of washed, agitated a little bit. And it goes up like a conveyor belt. Then it comes out, and there's all these people putting little stickers on them and dressing them real nice with
skirts.
And you know what? And you know, everyone out there in Lake County and Porter County and LaPorte County, you think we're small. Everything has to be like Chicago, but you guys grow those eggplants for who?
Right, they're going everywhere. So it's.
But
it's,
he told me a specific
it's
place.
Walmart. Yeah.
That's
right.
Really big.
Yeah, you can see a lot of our containers are specifically for Walmart.
You should be proud of that.
Yeah, it is. And you have to meet some pretty rigorous standards to do this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are not, and this is always a question, so we'll just stop it before someone calls in and asks. We're not an organic farm. And that's because while we appreciate organic farming, most people are not going to want to buy an organic eggplant when they see it on the shelf. It looks funny. It's misshapen. It's strange looking. And, you know,
and it's costly.
Yeah, it's costly. And we Americans care about we want our food to look good, too. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to buy apples that are all chunked up and damaged and, you know, maybe have a bug in it. And so, you know, we're not an organic grower, but we do follow some very rigorous GAP safety procedures and food safety procedures. So what we do for our farm is investigated. It's monitored. We have to have checks every year. So it's pretty rigorous standards that most of these...
You get audited every year, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And for not just for like financially...
No, I'm talking about the goods you put out.
For the quality of the goods we're putting out and how we're processing and handling those, like you said, the going through the washer... They're checking this process for us.
You're providing food, mass amounts of food.
Amounts of food, yes. So it goes through a standardization that most people aren't doing, you know, for a home gardening or something like that. I mean, that's not happening, you mm-hmm. know. But so it's a different level of farming, and obviously that comes with an expense and a commitment to keeping up that quality, which is rigorous and tough, and we do that every year.
Folks, 769-9577. We've got about 20 minutes left. Call in, get a gift card from Garwood Orchards. You know what? You won't be disappointed because when I went out there, like I said, it just feels like you're out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And you know what? When you're out in the middle of nowhere, is Charlie Brown out there looking for
the great pumpkin?
What is the largest pumpkin you ever grew?
You know, we don't do any of those jumbo pumpkins.
Is that a special thing?
Yeah.
You actually have to have a seed. It just doesn't just morph into something big on accident.
Right. They're more like a gourd or something, these giant 400-pound pumpkins. Yeah. But we don't do those. We'll sometimes offer them at our store. But at our like actual growing U-Pick area, it's more your average size pumpkin.
A lot of school tours come out there, though. Yeah, and the kids will pick out a little
pie pumpkin. Yeah. They get a little pie pumpkin. We do a lot of school tours. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that we really necessarily even promote that much.
But the kids love it, though. Yeah, I've been on them before.
Well, and we're overbooked every year, yeah. so we don't go trying to look for a lot of new ones because we just book them out so fast. We're booked for this season. But those will start September 11th. We're running through probably, I don't know, about 300 kids a day.
Wow.
It's nothing compared to County Line, one of our friends and other local orchards. They do a ton of school tours. I mean, mm-hmm. they just do thousands and thousands of kids. So that's not our main forte because it's pretty difficult to do that in addition to all of the wholesale operations. So, mm-hmm. you know,
you're more of a wholesaler than you're not Disney. You're like a wholesaler. You're trying to be a little bit educational. And
yeah, maybe 10% of our business is our retail and U-Pick operation. Mm-hmm. 90% is our wholesale, what we're sending to Walmart. And
yeah, and the kids come out there for just pumpkin picking? Is that what it is?
No, the tour will involve, we'll talk to them about how apples grow and how pumpkins grow. They'll get a wagon ride and a donut and a cup of cider.
Oh.
They'll get a tour like you did of the inside and get to see the packing line.
Your tractor drivers are pretty well informed.
Yeah, your husband's a good tractor driver.
He's not the tractor driver.
Oh, well, that's how I met him, as a tractor driver.
He was driving the tractor?
Yeah. You're in trouble now. 769-9577. 769-9577.
Never seen him drive the tractor. I think someone told you they were my husband. I think you met Jerry Garland.
No, I met you, Brian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was.
What was he doing driving the
tractor? I don't know. He was probably having a good time.
Yeah.
Call in. We got
Maybe
about.
He knew you were coming.
He's usually on a forklift.
Right.
We got about 15 minutes left, and Carrie was nice enough to visit us out here in Merrillville, all the way from La Porte. She brought in a few $20 gift cards.
On a three-day weekend,
you got your kids with you.
It's a beautiful drive out to La Porte.
It is beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know, and I would not take the highway.
No.
Put your GPS, because that's what I did, on all the back roads.
Yeah, take 12, 20.
That's what I did.
Come through the beautiful, that's just a gorgeous drive over towards La Porte.
How long has the U-Pick operation been around?
We've been doing U-Pick since the 50s, so since 1955 or something like that.
And that's insanely popular, I'm sure.
It is. It is very popular.
So you do strawberries out there?
We do. We start, that's one of the
Can
first
I bring
crops.
Sugar with me?
Yes, you're right. Yeah, you don't need it. You don't need it for our berries.
I went out in the spring when they were first starting, and I just picked some warm strawberries right off of the vine, and eat one of those juicy big strawberries early in the spring, and even though it's warm, it's just so good. It just runs down your cheeks, and it's just, you're like, oh,
so when
spring
are all,
is here.
When are all the berries done that you pick for the berries? When's all that done?
So, and we still have blackberries will be coming up, so that's and the black and red raspberries. So there's some fall varieties of those, but most of them are in the, like, blueberries will start in July, strawberries are in June. So most of your berry stuff is done in mid-August. It's kind of the end of it. Like, strawberries only run about a month, you know, so they're done before July, and then blueberries start, and then they run about a month.
So pumpkins, when you start planting them, and when they're usually ready? I find them hard to grow. I tried growing one in my backyard, and it was like a monster took over my lawn, this big vine, like something out of an old 50s horror movie, was growing. And then what did it give me? One pumpkin.
Right.
And it grew like 30 feet. Yeah. And I get one little pumpkin. How do you guys, what's the secret?
It is crazy. Pumpkins are hard to grow, and they're real susceptible to things like mold and mildew, and they get, those vines get kind of funky looking, and they get weird diseases, and they are hard to grow. But I think, you know, we're just lucky to have a lot of years of farming experience in the family, so that helps. We've had bad pumpkin years. We've had bad apple years, you know, weather. Everything's so dependent on weather and farming. So we've had some years where you lose almost your whole crop.
Really?
And it's tough. I mean, it's tough to run a business that's based on relying on weather. And so, again, we're lucky to have a faith where we believe in something else. And so that keeps us going. And that's part of, you know, the family being involved in Bethany Church for a long time and a lot of years. You gotta have a little faith to be a farmer, because you rely on something beyond yourself. You can do everything right and then still have some failures, and then you see where it all comes out okay in the end. So it still works out.
Now, the pumpkin pies you make, are those from your pumpkins?
Yeah, so we'll do. We've got some additional stuff that we use in the bakery. We'll do some of this flash frozen fruit and produce that we'll get preserved for us, so that we can then use it back again in our pies.
I was curious, how do you withstand and bounce back from a bad year?
Right. It's, you know, we're lucky we carry some crop insurance, so that helps. Again, it's an expense, a business expense to do that, you know, and just like any other insurance, you sometimes are thinking, does this matter? Why do I have this? And then you know when you have a bad year why you did it.
Oh, okay.
Because that really helps you get through it. But yeah, it's not the same as a good year. I mean, it's not the same as a good farming year. So, but it helps. And I think, too, everybody's done it long enough now that you know, the nail biting and the sleepless nights. Once you've been in business doing anything for a number of years, you start to realize that if you just keep going and trying to do it right, it's hopefully going to turn out okay.
Okay, I got a question. What's your secret behind a good pumpkin seed?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think
I have a terrible time with pumpkin seeds.
Yeah.
No, you don't have a secret?
Yeah, no secret.
So what's the best pumpkin to use for the pies? Is there a certain one?
You know, no, not necessarily.
You can use almost anyone?
You want to use those smaller pie pumpkins. That's why they call them that, because they're meatier. You're not going to take a jack-o'-lantern and, you know, make a pie with that. The meat inside is different and stringier. So, yeah, those smaller pie pumpkins are really designed.
Do you have anyone out there that does fancy carvings or anything that on your pumpkins?
We do. We've had a fun go out of it in the fall out there. We've had some years where we did a haunted orchard and a bunch of kids carved pumpkins.
You do corn maze?
No,
you don't
we don't.
Get no one lost?
We got out of some of that stuff. We did some of it for a while, and then we decided our entertainment's going to be more along lines of bands and family fun and not the mazes.
Oh, you know what? When I was out there, it was very friendly because – I don't know who the gentleman, they were sitting on the bench out front. And I must have said hi to my family two or three times. I mean, they were like more than gracious. I don't know if they're your employees or what. Like I said, we sat out there. Folks, you got to go out there. You got to call 769-9577, get a chance to get a gift card. Very relaxing, very pleasant place to be. I mean, you just feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, but you're really not.
Right, it's just off Highway 2 in LaPorte, so it's kind of before you get to the LaPorte County Fairgrounds on Highway 2 if you're coming in.
Actually, a great area to bike ride, too, because we have five lakes in LaPorte.
Right.
And you can just ride your bike all the way around the lakes. You can ride out by the orchard. A lot of people are riding their bikes out there. So
A lot of folks will park, and we see this, you know, where people will drive out and they'll bring their bikes with them and they'll park at the orchard, and then they take off and bike ride, come back
it's
and get their car later.
To go. Yeah.
So do you do any... livestock, any animals, pigs, chickens, eggs, butter?
I have four dogs and a cat at home. That's
no, that's great.
That's it. Lots of household pets.
So when you were walking in here, you had some good news come across. Dennis was very happy. You guys were, you know, pump fisting it and chest bumping. And I saw all that in the studio. Yes. I had to tell you guys to settle down.
I didn't know it was that much.
But why
your imagination is running wild.
I know. That's how it is on the radio.
Hopping up and down.
Yeah. But why don't you, I mean, that's something that it's a philanthropy project you guys do. Why don't you talk about it a little bit?
Right. It's pretty exciting. We've been working on a project. The family church is Bethany Lutheran Church, which is also where I work for like outreach and some business management stuff. And we've been working on, we acquired a school playground, a former school playground that had some handicap accessible equipment on it. And over the years, we've always thought we really need to improve upon that. And now, as it turns out, we're looking at working with the IHCDA on this matching grant request. So they took an interest in the project, said, hey, we can do a $50,000 matching grant if you raise $50,000.
Wow.
So we've been doing this whole fundraising process for this. And right as we were walking in, just got a call from American Licorice, LaPorte Company, great company. Their PR guy, Steve Walters, said they're sending us a $10,000 check towards that playground. So we've raised $18,000 so far online just from community donations. Now that
and we
10,
only have till the 29th of September.
Yeah, it's just till the 29th of September. So if you're going out to Garwoods, you'll see donation jars on the counter for it just for change or whatever. And you know, that's because our family is behind hoping this will happen. It'll be handicap accessible.
You said something about a splash pad?
Yeah, we're going to improve the playground with some handicap accessible solid surfacing stuff, and then add a splash pad that's also accessible. and then do some aquatic wheelchairs that we can loan out from the church for people that come over and they don't want to take their expensive wheelchair onto the
splash
pad.
And this is open to the public. Mm. I mean, it's open to everybody. It's
right.
Not gonna be restricted anyway. So and there's going to be some stuff there for intergenerational.
Yeah, like a multi-generational part for folks so that grandparents who are out there watching their kids, you know, while mom and dad are at work, can enjoy and maybe do a little exercise.
And how close are you to your goal again?
We are right now with that. We are close to 30,000, so about 20,000 off of that 50,000. Which the whole playground will cost quite a bit more to get it all done. But this $50,000 matching grant is going to make it possible to say, "Hey, we're getting this started. We're going to finish it in 2019." So, you know, that's a big chunk of a matching
there's
grant.
There's
to make
a
it
bicycle.
Happen.
Speaking of bicycles, there's a bicycle path that's going to come right by there. So it'll be it's a big development for the county. So we're excited about that.
And you had some other news, didn't you? Somebody else might be wanting to talk to you?
Yeah, we had something. Got
all
an
this
email.
Good luck. You know, you come into WLPR 89.1 FM, and look, the luck happened.
Right. They want to do a kind of a spotlight on us for a television show about destinations in the Midwest. So I'll need to get back to them and figure out what that is. But sounds exciting for the fall.
That all happened from the time she walked to her car and came into
That's
the
excellent.
Studio.
Excellent. That is great.
It's good luck. Yeah, it's a good luck.
That's why I shook her hand 10 times.
Right. Right.
Well, now we got to come to your restaurant.
There you go.
Well, and it all came about because you were, you know, right when I sat down, you asked about if I knew anyone at American Licorice. And I'm like, that's so crazy.
Yeah, anyone
I just
out
got off the phone with them, you know.
Oh, wow.
That's another thing. Anyone at American Licorice would love to come on Let's Eat. We'd love to have you on. The door's open. Or anyone else out there that has a restaurant or a liquor, a winery or a brewery or something like that that would like to come on to the show, all they have to do is call Lakeshore Public Radio.
Is that just restricted to Northwest Indiana, though?
No. I've had people from Michigan City's in this area. I've had people from Lansing. We've had people from all
We have to
Rensselaer.
Talk to you about red wine and brew sometime.
That's another food thing. And beverage thing.
Do you grow grapes?
We do not. We do not grow grapes. We don't have any wines or beers at the orchard. So that's not a route we've taken thus far, anyway.
I mean, do wineries come out there and maybe buy berries or anything like that?
We do.
Because I know Butler Wine. We've had them on. And he's had some blackberry wines and things like that.
Right, different kinds. I didn't realize that you could make wine from just like
any
fruit.
Yes, we have a lot of, I think mainly home winemaking going on, but a lot of peach wine and blackberry wine, very popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't
so
know that.
So you got any future plans coming up? Any expansions? Anything different? Or are you just trying to take it easy?
You know, I think
like
there'll
me, like take a breath once
right,
in a while.
I think there'll be some expansions. The guys are all probably in their 50s now, so that gives you an idea of the lineage. So it's deciding
kids.
What that
happens.
How about
happens. The kids? Yeah. How about your kids? Are your kids involved?
So my kids all have four legs, so I don't think they're going to run a business. They're pretty selfish
How
creatures.
Many people does it take to work at your establishment to keep that going?
Yeah, times.
It's a lot.
I bet it's a lot, right?
It's a lot. There are, like I said, the three owners are the day-to-day operations, you know, owner-managers. So they're on site every day. I mean, it's a local business. You're going to see the owners if you're out there. And then right now, this time of year, we probably have about over 100 employees, probably about 120 employees working for us at least. Could be closer to 150 this year. But
do you have an idea how many visitors come a season?
No, that would be great to get. I don't know how you would get that tally. It's very difficult because, you know, your customer
You have to get
account,
a turnstile gate, right?
Yeah. I was
going
to say a turnstile.
Because, you know, it's not like you can track it by how many receipts you have because there could be five people with one ticket. So you can't really tell how many people you see through there.
Folks, we're down to our last 5 minutes, 769-9577, 769-9577. Get a gift card and have a great weekend out at Garwood Orchard. Let me ask you this, Carrie. I mean, farming is hard and everything. What do you do on the off time? Do you get an off time? Do you get a break?
Yeah, for the farm, the busy season is really April through November. So after November, it'll start slowing down. Our market will stay open until like Christmas Eve. So like the last day we're open is like the 23rd of December. After that, through February, March, The guys are doing maintenance stuff. They're pruning trees and fixing equipment, and that's when we would do if we're doing any additions or changes to the building. But they get to vacation. So my husband golfs a lot. He travels a lot golfing, and Mike is more adventurous. He'll do some mountain climbing, and Tom skis. So, I mean, they take their breaks.
So is that like during like January, February? Yes. Those are the deep, cold months. That's when you really don't do...
Right.
That's when your break is kind of.
And then what are you doing during that time?
Because I work at the church full time, I don't ever take a break. So I go right from 7 days a week to 7 days a week.
Wow.
Sounds like you sound like you're a little bit of a workaholic.
I know. The term workaholic, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow.
So why don't you tell everyone where you're located, Facebook, website, phone number?
Right, sure.
And maybe, you know, if they want to do a tour, I know you're.
Sure.
Book, but who should get a hold of?
Right, yeah, and I do all the scheduling for that kind of stuff. So if you reach out to us on Facebook or our website, I'm getting those messages. And it's Garwood Orchard on Facebook. Our website is garwoodorchard.com. And then you can always call the orchard. It's 219-362-4385. And we're located in La Porte. It's 5911 West 50 South. And it's just near, you'll see signs for a little area called Pinola. And it's right near there, kind of right between Westville and La Porte.
So when they say they're coming in from 8094, what exit do they get off of?
You know, I forget the exit number.
I've seen your little sign, though.
There's a sign for it, and it shows Garwood Orchards, and it's 421, Highway 421 that goes to Michigan City.
Off the toll road, it's the Westville.
Yep, exit. Westville exit. Shows Westville. You go south on 421, and then you would get on Highway 2 and go east towards La Porte.
Do you do any markets? I mean, do you guys travel to any local markets?
We used to. We did a lot of Chicago markets. We did a lot of local markets. We've given that up. We gave up the farmers markets probably, I'd say, about 10, 15 years ago. It's been a while since we've done some farmers markets. But, yeah, that was a different...
Is that like a job in itself?
It is. It is a job in itself. And you're sending, you know, young kids at 3 a.m. with a truck into Chicago. And it just, you know, got to the point where you thought, you know, I don't know that this is the best idea anymore. We've got a market. People know about us. We'll let them come to us. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot to handle a retail, a wholesale, a U-Pick.
Oh, yeah. You're wearing a lot of different hats.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Right. I was in my 20s doing that. 40s now, I can't handle it.
You employ a lot of kids, though, too.
Yeah. We do. We employ a lot of teenagers. It's really a passion of mine is to kind of, you know, help these kids understand and establish a work ethic. And so I grew up working out there and some other places, and I thought my teen work experience has probably developed a lot of my work ethic today. And I think kids need that. So,
did you go to college for? You know,
I did. I'm still in college. So you know, I'm like a 30-year student. I went to IU, stopped because I started selling real estate, and real estate was lucrative in the 90s. So I was making a lot of money, and I'm like, what am I doing this school stuff for? This is crazy. And so I dropped out, and then you know was still helping kind of run the family business, and then selling real estate. And now I've actually gone back to school. I'm doing some online courses to finish up that degree that I stopped because I always felt kind of bad about quitting it midway.
Sure, so.
Well, we're coming in to the end of the show. Let me ask you real quick. Do you have a deli area? Do you do sandwiches or anything like that?
We do not have a deli, but we do have a Garwood Grill that's open on weekends. So we do burgers and brats and hot dogs and grilled sweet corn. And that's all available on Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Carrie, for coming out here. I mean, it was a truck. And Dennis, thanks for bringing her and being her support.
That's right.
And I want to thank everyone out there in Northwest Indiana for tuning in to Let's Eat. You were here with me, Chef Nick, and Sharon Jackson.
Check out the Lakeshore Facebook page, Facebook.com/Lakeshore Public Radio.
And we're going to see you next week. Yeah. We got Polk Row Brewery coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everyone to have a great Labor Day weekend. Have fun. Be safe. And as always... Ciao.